Good evening to you, and welcome to the show, History and You, with George Rodriguez Walling.
Good evening, and welcome to the show, History and You, the show where you decide what history becomes. I am your host, George Rodriguez Walling, and I'm very happy to be here with you this evening. If you want to call in and contribute your thoughts, please do so at toll-free 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Call me and tell me your thoughts. If not, send me an email at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. You'll find me at bbsradio.com/historyandyou. Also, please remember to visit and support my Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube links found on the website as follow-ups to each and every program. Tonight's show is brought to you by the folks at BBS. Tonight's topic, athletes and salaries. An interesting topic, one that is highly debatable, particularly over dinner time. If you want an outright smack-out fight with someone, or if not, if you are of the ilk that are somewhat civilized, then you'll have a very, very interesting conversation. I always think like the Chinese, may you live in interesting times. When I was in high school, up until I graduated, I didn't have the best of grades, but boy, did I love sports. I really did. What kid normally doesn't? Basketball in particular was the one that captured me the most. But my dad always stressed that I study for my future instead. And so I listened to my dad. I trusted him. He's my dad, so why not? He would often remind me that while I played well, yet it wasn't the caliber of play that would carry me to the NBA, let alone my height. Barely 5'10". It's not like I'm 6'9 or anything like that. At first, I took it to heart. Well, what kid wouldn't? Especially a comment like that coming from your own dad. However, I was always one to reflect, and I did. The more I thought about it, the more I saw it in my playing, the more I began to reconsider my priorities. It took a while, years I'd say, but I finally came around to the notion that I had to start studying hard if I wanted to do something substantial with my life, so I did. I stayed in school, I got my degrees, even graduate school, and started working. Young and eager, I wanted to work hard at working smart. So I put in the long hours, the focus, the effort, the creativity, wrestled with challenges, dealt with adversities, expanded my ambitions, and now, at nearly 60 years of age, well, I can look back with equal parts of affirmation and satisfaction and say that I did it well within the best of my ability to make a positive difference for others to see. But there is still much more to do, as is so often the case with those who have chosen the path of academic careers. But for the moment, I have left my mark and my contribution to the field in my career. Did I get paid well for it when considering all that I sacrificed just because I wasn't blessed with a natural athletic ability but a brainiac one instead? Is it right to pay me less as a thinker than a player or a performer? Just because the nature and the level of public demand is different? Perhaps more discriminating? The story I've just told you is a very old tale, a very old tale, of guys like me who saw and felt themselves caught up in the dream of someday becoming a professional athlete and playing the sport you so long have come to love, while getting paid handsomely for it too. The question is, how handsomely? Well, like me, there are those that have moved on to become teachers, professors, engineers, architects, lawyers, doctors, business people, bankers, psychologists, police officers, entrepreneurs. In short, they've all moved on in life. But one thing they do provide the public of the everyday kind, as well as the more privileged ones in society, is that they resolve problems for people, but without getting paid the same compensation as those other privileged ones. Why? Why? Could it be that the market rules on this one? If you believe in capitalism, you will yield to the rigors that it demands, without any pause to your convictions on the subject. If, on the other hand, you wish to make a Marxist argument by determining the types and amounts of government regulation in establishing dictates and criteria for equalizing a more even distribution of income regardless of market demand, then you sanction a more socialistic approach toward what you feel is fair. When you stop and think of the millions of professional athletes make over a short period of time just to play with a ball, be it a baseball, a football, or a basketball, and compare it to the hard-earned dollars other less blessed people make for doing a great job at what they do, it's easy to begin to question the economic system that gave birth to these outcomes and the political system that tolerates the erratic pangs and dictates of an income system gone wild and uncensored. With me tonight is a gentleman who has held many roles in professional baseball. Born and raised in Miami, he attended the University of Miami to study sociology and philosophy. But he was also national champion at Westminster Christian School in 1996. He was also a two-time All-American member of the 1997 U.S. baseball team. He was also a two-time All-American national champion of the 1999 USA team. He also played professional baseball for the better parts of 3 years with Seattle, Boston, and Toronto. He was also drafted by the Atlanta Braves in the 12th round of the 1997 Major League Baseball June Amateur Draft from the Westminster Christian School in Miami, Florida, and the Seattle Mariners in the 14th round of the 2000 Major League Baseball June Amateur Draft from the University of Miami in Coral Gables. This gentleman has also coached professionally with the San Diego Padres as hitting instructor and is currently coaching at Gulliver Preparatory School in Pinecrest, Florida. No doubt, this gentleman's father has been an extraordinary influence in his life, as he too has been involved in pro ball for over 30 years. He's currently the director of the Latin American market with the Detroit Tigers. Ladies and gentlemen, it is truly with great, great pleasure that I present Mr. Manny Crespo. Welcome to the show, Manny.
How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Now, Manny, this show is called History and You. The history of athletic salaries in the U.S. and even around the world for baseball as well as other sports is not always what they are today. As a matter of fact, I can remember seeing an interview with Paul Hornung years ago, an old football hero of mine from the 1950s who played running back for the Green Bay Packers. Well, he was discussing a similar issue about how athletic salaries have risen exponentially. But back in the early 1980s, when suddenly he confessed that when playing for the Packers, he was making $7,000 a year, That's $7,000 a year. Manny, what is your opinion on the issue of athletes and their current salaries today?
The truth is it's a tough subject because having played, you understand the amount of effort that you put into it. And I believe that you deserve some kind of compensation for the amount of effort put in. But like you said earlier, it's gotten to a point where the compensation doesn't match. I remember when I was growing up watching big leaguers, and they were just one of the guys, you know. And all of a sudden, from one day to the next, they become, you know, the high society. And it's kind of weird when you look around and you grew up thinking that hard work is what's going to get you there. And right now we have a society that's almost looking for talent above hard work. And it's tough to understand that.
You know, Manny, what are you saying, man? As a former pro baseball player, you're supposed to be on the other side of this issue. What are you doing here, Manny? Manny, do you realize what you're saying here? Because I don't get me wrong, I agree with what you're saying. However, you are cutting so much against the grain. You are taking such a nonconformist role on this issue. It's beyond belief. And yet, apparently, it seems to be your conviction that I think it's just gotten way, way, way out of hand.
Well, having stood on both sides of the line, not only as a player but as a coach, you have to see that there's two sides to this. It's not only the disproportion in the actual salaries within baseball itself, within the players themselves, the major league coaches, the minor league coaches. These guys are working their tails off, and only the upper echelon is making any money. And then you go off and you split it off from sports to society, and you look at it, and you're paying people for a talent that is basically very specific to certain countries, especially this one. Instead of reading or math, which are pretty much universal, and you're paying attention to the fact that these guys can do something very, very difficult, perhaps. But try getting in a classroom and getting kids to participate and engage into what you're doing and getting people to be paid for that. I mean, that's you know, right now we have a future in entertainment, that which is what athletes are, as opposed to a future in education.
You know, Manny, you mentioned something now that kind of caught my ear for just a moment. You were talking about coaches. These coaches, whether they're general coaches across the board or someone that's coaching a particular specific thing like pitching or catching or coaching something very particular. Yet these guys don't get paid what these other players in the upper echelons get paid. It's sort of like teachers. You know, whenever you see a successful lawyer or a doctor or an engineer or whatever, you know, and I see them always a little bit arrogant. I one time went up to one of my own students and I told him, hey, let me remind you that it's guys like me that make guys like you. Well, it's coaches like you that make other guys just that much better to get paid that much more, which that coach doesn't have any interest in participating. Am I correct in this?
No, you're absolutely right. You have to think about this in this way. Most coaches don't get paid very much, yet they do it because they are very educated in this sport. This is what they do well. And yet they go out there regardless of money, kind of like teachers, and go out there and do the best they can to help these kids get better. They are not compensated. But now, this is my point. If you got the best minds in the world and you educated them to become educators, now you would have all kinds of brilliant minds helping many minds continue the future. At the point that we are right now, we have those great minds leaving to do other things and not helping out where they should. And, you know, and that's why, you know, in sports, it's the same thing. You have very limited people helping because the finances aren't there. You know, you should pay the people who are helping to educate, who are helping to make better players, better people, as opposed to paying for the fact that you are more talented than other people. The fact is that talent never did anything. It was hard work that did.
Would you advocate then that sports should be further regulated, almost as if what I was trying to allude in the beginning of this program, a socialistic approach to regulate and even out the playing field? Would you find that to be justified and necessary in sports?
At the end of the day, I remember when I was young, my grandfather offered me $10 a home run. And I remember the first year I hit $9. You know, so I made $90. It was awesome. So I worked really hard in the off season. And the next year, in the first two games, I hit $7. After that, he changed it to $1. That year, I hit 47 home runs. If there's an incentive behind playing versus just a salary, you're going to get better play, better teams, better sportsmanship. You know, the fact is that when you give somebody so much money and you make them feel like they're special, and the truth is money makes you feel special, you know, they leave society. You know, they're not the same heroes that we used to have. They're, you know, before, movie stars used to like to hang out with athletes. Now athletes think they're movie stars. I mean, it's totally ridiculous. They are entertainers, and they have completely forgot that that's what they are. And the moment they cannot entertain, people are on to the next one. They're not special. Special is what you do with your money. Special is what you do with your talent.
You know, it's almost like we're talking about the modern Romans here. You know, just the gladiators that have their heyday for their 15 minutes of fame, literally speaking. And after that, they're done for the day, and they are so quickly forgotten that they don't even realize it. They are forgotten so fast it makes their heads spin, and they don't even see their own heads rotating on its very own axis. Okay, Manny, let me ask you: can you tell us a little bit about the history of athletes and their salaries?
I really can tell you only a little bit, and here's a quick story. I remember in Babe Ruth's time, there's a story that he actually got paid more than the president, and he was asked, "What do you think about that?" And he replied, "Well, I had a better year." And the truth is, I agree with that. You know what? There's a couple of guys, especially Miguel Cabrera and Trout with the Angels, they had better years perhaps than Obama did, but not too many other people did, because that man has a tough job. You know, and we're paying our athletes to entertain our public more than we pay our president. And I stress, Babe Ruth probably did have a better year. And Cabrera really did, with this Triple Crown, have a better year. I agree that you should pay these guys, especially when they do something so awesome, you know, because it is that hard. And we can pay them. But $20 million, $25 million, I think we're stretching it, especially when you have five Dominican kids living in one bedroom apartment in the minor leagues. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's really lopsided. Let me hit you with a couple of things here, Manny, that I think is going to sound interesting not only to our audience but to you as well. And I was digging up a couple of things, and this is the one or two things that I came up with. It should be eye openers, at least for the moment. And I read, while baseball players make an average of $2.9 million, the average pay for teachers in the United States was $46,597 during the 2003-2004 school year. So, Manny, we're talking about $2.9 million at an average to an average of $46,597. Now, these are teachers, and, you know, let's be fair about this. These are a clump of teachers that we're talking about. Some of them are damn good teachers, people that leave an imprint in your mind, teachers that have laid a tremendous positive influence in your life, has given you direction, has given you orientation, has given you mental clarity, has molded your character, has developed your sense of work ethic, has given you consistency, purpose. So much in your life, so much in your life. And on the other hand, you've got these yokels and yo-yos that aren't worth the penny we see on the sidewalk and walk right by them and just simply ignore them. They're worth nothing. They're less than 2 inches off the pavement, okay? But yet, the good teachers are paid that low. And these are guys like make guys like them. Okay? Now it goes on. Salaries in South Carolina, which has some of the lowest paid teachers in the country, averaged $41,162, which ranked 28th in the country in the 2003-2004 school year. And this is a stat according to the American Federation of Teachers. Comments, Manny?
It's at the end of the day, like I said before, you know, people are not being appreciated for the right things. We're out there. When you have a society at the end that the top five of the most respected and highest paid professions are athletes, which literally means people with supreme talent to play a sport. Okay, that's always the one percenters. Okay, then there's 99% of other people that have wonderful minds. When in the top five, you have athletes and teachers are nowhere to be found. You have a problem because at the end of the day, I never understood why people respected me more because I could hit a baseball. That was so weird to me. It was like, wow, man, you're awesome. And I was like, dude, all I do is hit a baseball. Why don't I understand the math like you? Yeah. Why can't I read better like her? Why, you know, like there were always things like I understood that I needed to do mentally that I thought were, you know, pretty cool.
Yeah, and you but know yes, what's even... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Manny, the alarming thing that I find, piggybacking on what you're saying, is that as a teacher myself, I can go into the classroom and I will find students galore that will all worship the idea of these guys getting paid these kinds of salaries. The higher you go, the easier you turn all these kids on. I mean, it's like a flamer. You just spark the bun, boom, there it goes. Okay, they're lit up for the rest of the day. It is an instantaneous turn on to them to know that somebody is getting paid X millions of dollars within 3 years, 15 million, 22 million, 35 million. It is an incredible turn. But, you know, at the end of the moment, Manny, these are kids. What the hell do they know? What alarms me even more are guess who?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know who I'm talking about? You know who I'm alluding to? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say it. After all, it's my show. The parents. The parents are just as bad or worse. And these are parents many times that are blue-collar workers, and other parents are scholars or business people, architects, lawyers, accountants, you know, and they advocated as much or even more. And throughout the years, I've always been privy to the argument, and no one has ever laid out an argument with enough clarity to convince me that, okay, I see their point as to how this kind of a salary can ever be justified. I have never, ever come across that. Never. Let me hit you with another one that turns them on like a ping pong machine. On March 8th, Manny, Peyton Manning is set to make $28 million from the Indianapolis Colts. The highest amount ever paid to the NFL athlete. This was already a while back. Despite missing all of last year's due to the injury, the neck injury that he had. Of course, now we know he's playing for Colorado, but when he was for the Indianapolis Colts at that time period, $28 million, Manny? Let me hit you with another one. Of the highest single season salaries in baseball, the top 100 paid players are all from the last 12 years. What's happened in the last 12 years that has made this rise exponentially? What's happened in the last 12 years? I don't know. It's no different in the other major sports. Even when adjusting for inflation, current salaries are much higher than those paid to elite players in the past. What's happened in the past 12 years? I don't know. Another one. Kobe Bryant is currently the highest paid player in the NBA with a salary of, and I don't know how outdated this is, I mean, maybe since when I dug this up to the moment that we're speaking now, it's increased by $10 million more. Who knows? With a salary of $25 million, he makes less than five times the league average. Less, and barely makes the top 10 for the NBA using our metric. Baseball, which has no salary cap, has more highly paid players than any other sport. Kevin Brown for the Dodgers in 2000, $15.7 million. A-Rod, or otherwise known as Alex Rodriguez. Texas Rangers, $252 million, which paid him $22 million during the 2001 season. Came up to be the highest paid player in 2009 when he signed a new contract with the Yanks. $33 million that year, an increase of 50%. Any reactions, Mr. Crespo?
It's tough to react to those things, you know, because there are other factors, obviously, put into these things. When you do have, you know, if you go back to teachers who are helping educate these people, helping educate these kids to get them on the playing field, would have trouble affording tickets to go to one of these games if they had a family of four.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not only the players, it's everybody who is making a baseball game more exclusive than it used to be. And, you know, it's a trendy thing. You know, money is a trendy thing.
That's very true. Very, very true. How does one justify such enormous salaries while knowing that there are so many others are a little more deserving than what they currently get. But Manny, let's get ready for a commercial break here. I've got a philosophic question for you. But first, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest, Mr. Manny Crespo, discussing our topic for this evening's show, Athletes and Their Salaries on History and You. Okay, and we are back with Mr. Manny Crespo discussing our topic for this evening's show, Athletes and Their Salaries on History and You. Boy, gotta love those songs, those BBS boys. Thank you so much, Mr. Doug Newsom. Really terrific choice. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Manny, my philosophic question for you. With everything that we've discussed so far, Manny, how do you place a financial value on performance in relation to a person's talent or skill or insight? How do you place a value on performance?
Well, if I had to give an example that somebody might be able to relate to, I would say somebody like Roberto Clemente. You know, this was somebody that not only had talent to play the game, but had a passion for helping others. And, you know, ironically, he died after getting his 3,000th hit, delivering food to his country who needed it. You know, it's not what you do with your talent. It's what you do after. Because at the end of the day, you could use your talent for selfish reasons and amass a lot of wealth, you know, but at the end of the, you know, it's an empty thing, you know, at least from what I've seen.
Yeah. It seems like a certain person has to have a certain kind of social class about him.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to say this, like, I'm not the foremost expert on these things, okay? But the videos I remember Babe Ruth out in the streets with kids. I remember the picture of Willie Mays out in the streets playing stickball with the kids. I mean, I remember being a kid and sitting there with Lance Johnson or David Segee, which was awesome, or Tim Raines. You know, or Delino Day Shields. I mean, these guys were just the nicest people, and that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be one of the boys, but one of the big boys who did the same thing, who was an entertainer, who did perform for the crowd, but provided something else.
Yeah.
And that else is what I think is missing because of this money.
Yeah.
It changed them, and it changed the game.
Yeah, I think you're on to something interesting, Manny, because has money done something to these guys to change the kind of model that they are supposed to be for young kids? Because really the treasure here are young kids, because they do look up to all of these players that kids see them as bigger than life. They are everything to them. And I can't stop thinking about how within the past maybe 10 years or so, a lot of that kind of public example that athletes, role models that athletes can provide, has become so soiled either because athletes get in fights with their coaches, or they get in fights in bars, or if not, they're caught in a DUI, or if not, the police is called and reported for domestic violence. All of these things. Why are these guys, and this is something that, you know, oh, everybody gets so impressed because they get paid so much money. Big deal. Why are these guys being paid as handsomely as they are? And yet you bring up the very good point of how perhaps money itself can act as such an undermining or weakening influence that can deteriorate the sense of character and the sense of role modeling that these guys have a public obligation to do, because morally they're driven to provide nothing but that kind of a good example. And they don't, because they feel they don't have to, because they deflect and redirect the blame by saying, well, the sport nowadays just has too much stress. I got too much on my mind now, and so I do all these things. But in the name of money, bless me and baptize me so I can go on and have another good spoiled day. Spoiled day. Do you see what I'm saying here?
I definitely understand your point. And I want you to see the fact that it's very difficult for these young people to understand what this amount of money is going to do to them. They're not educated enough to understand that it's going to put them in a different lifestyle. I do not think that these guys actually had these intentions. The fact is that
I believe that. I believe that.
The fact is that it's almost impossible. It's almost like putting a kid in a candy store. You can't, once you do that, you know, these kids, you know, including myself, you know, I'm glad I am where I am right now and I'm able to see things from my perspective. But I can tell you for this, you know, for sure, had I been in the big leagues and gotten paid that real money, I don't think I could have ever been sitting here talking to you about this.
Yeah.
Because it would have been impossible for me to see it. Because it's blinding. You know, they don't prepare you for the responsibility needed. And I'm going to tell you why. Those guys that I used to watch videos, those guys that used to play in the big leagues and hit 50 bombs, those guys all had, like, other jobs in the off season. Those guys all had to do different things because they didn't get paid enough. And these were the best of the best. They're literally the best ever. Because these guys played 162 on nothing except alcohol, you know. Now, you know, everybody's got a bunch of stuff because it's difficult to play at that level. And what I don't like is that people judge these people for taking substances that's going to help them perform better.
Yeah.
Because the fact is, it would be nice if people, you know, in normal life, could take substances that would help them perform better at their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, because the fact is that a lot of people take substances that help them perform worse. Yeah.
You know, is it any...
and...
Go ahead.
No, you know, we judge these guys for a lot of things, and at the end of the day, most of the things are not their fault. They're not the ones demanding these things. The market, like you said, is demanding these things. And, you know, they are reaping the benefits. But it is reaching a point where somebody should step up and be like, you know, what happened?
Yeah.
Where are our teachers? Why are they not benefiting from this,
yeah,
from this program?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was going to equate it to, is there any difference to placing a financial value on entertainment like a good actor or actress? And of course, just the questions that follow, like what does all of this suggest about our times? And certainly somebody at some point is going to have to step up. because the sport is no longer a sport. You know that. I assume you know that. It's a business. It's a multi-trillion-dollar business that just doesn't seem to be going away, ain't going anywhere, and just keeps getting bigger and bigger each and every time. Why isn't educating a young person less important financially than pitching? Think about it. You know, here we are in the classroom doing what we do, and yet there's a guy out there that pitches a ball, and he's got a potential to make what he makes. Is character formation important? Well, a lot of people would probably say, yeah. Well, okay, is it formed in the battlefield? Is it formed in the sports arena? In a classroom? In a courtroom? In a hospital? Well, character formation can be born just about anywhere. Character formation. But how much does formation mold character? I don't know if there's a difference there. When these athletes get in trouble, Manny, is getting you out of legal trouble any less important than running a football down the field for a touchdown? Think about what I'm saying here. I mean, here you are running the football downfield, and you're getting paid millions to do that, but getting you out of trouble and saving your profession, oh, well, that's, you know. Manny, let me ask you, how do you think a great performance by a person like by Al Pacino or Robert De Niro compares to watching LeBron James or Michael Jordan play at their best? Does one deserve more money than the other?
Man, that's probably the hardest question you could ask, honestly. I thought about it, and I said, you know, Pacino's performance is something that you could watch in the movie and you could watch it over and over again. And it's going to be that one performance and it's going to be amazing. Wow. Watching LeBron, you might have to watch 81, 82 games. You know, yeah. It's a difference, a big difference. And I will say this. I got to see Michael Jordan play, and it wasn't really watching him play. He was something special. And when you talk about money and talk about somebody being worth money, that guy would sell out arenas when he played the worst team in the league who won 10 games. And every seat was packed. And he brought something different to the game. And he is the one that changed this game, you know, and brought this marketable, you know, showtime to the game, you know, and this is all credit to him, you know, and we might be talking about it as it's gone overboard, but it's because of him, because he was so amazing. We want something like him, some, you know, ultimate attraction.
Yeah.
Because we love to be entertained.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we have to see it that there was one Michael Jordan. We got to see him. Now you can see some videos, but we can't be paying people so much money when we got needs, and the need is education, you know, versus entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I've always seen if a doctor saves lives, if a lawyer saves your profession, if a teacher makes you into what you become, hopefully not a bum. If an architect builds your dream home, if a police officer or firefighter saves your life, and on, why does society prioritize them at a lower ranking pay scale than those who show you quite extraordinary things, but like you yourself just said, Manny, but only for a very brief moment at an exorbitant price? Why? Let's revisit that question very quickly, but first let's take another quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest, Mr. Manny Crespo, discussing our topic for this evening, athletes and their salaries on History and You.
Listen, the more often to things and to feelings. Listen, the more often to things and to feelings. Tis the ancestor's breath when the fine voice is fair. Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the water.
Okay, and we are back with Mr. Manny Crespo discussing our topic for this evening's show, Athletes and Salaries on History and You. Gee whiz, I, for a minute there, I saw myself splashing in the water and having summer fun with beautiful girls in some Jamaican island somewhere. Wow. Okay. Manny, there are several things that Actually, we're running out of time, but, you know, there are a lot of things that I just wanted to run by you. You know, how do you convince people otherwise? How do you change attitudes? This whole cultural thing of the money culture that we're living in, I mean, is it culture? Is it ethnicity? Is it a sociological or pathological problem? Maybe a psychological issue, perhaps philosophical? Is it existential? The fact that, you know, we're only here once, so let's try and reap as many rewards as we possibly can. Let me ask you on the quick side, Manny, what advice in this day and age would you give those who are looking to do what you did? Based on your experience as a professional athlete, how does it compare to what a young kid dreams of, and what advice would you leave them?
At the end of the day, you need to understand that it is a business and you are an entertainer. You need to love the game and need to understand that it is hard work. There is a love of the game. There is fun in the game. The competition is fun. It's a very cutthroat business.
Which leads me to the next
perform.
To the next question that I wanted to ask you. What do you tell young kids when they try to make pro ball and don't make it for whatever reason? What do you tell them?
I try and tell my kids that at the end of the day, they were never baseball players. They were always people. They're human beings, and you play roles at different points in your life. And the fact is, if you gave it the best that you could, that's all you could ask from yourself. And playing at the major league level is not something that is for everybody. Baseball is not for everybody. Sports are not for everybody. But I will say this, education, the mind, is for everyone.
Well said. I have one final question for you, Manny, and this one's coming way out in left field. Sorry for the play on words or even the pun. What political party does pro sports baseball today resemble most? Republican Party or Democratic Party?
You know what? If honestly, if I could tell the difference between either party, I would tell you, but I really can't tell you at all. Okay.
All right.
That's my honest opinion.
Thank you very much, Manny, for dedicating time and your insights. It's always very, very special and very valuable insight that you've shared with all of us this evening. Thank you so much for being part of the show. I appreciate you being here and spending time.
Thank you.
And on that note, I'm afraid that's all the time we have. And now we've come to that final part of our show where I wish to leave you with a final thought to consider and to further reflect regarding the signs of our times. Some final thoughts. Sports used to involve the simple love of the game. Today, it's a high-stakes, high-stressed business that consumes every morsel of financial interest that stands in the way of club owners and financiers that bankroll them into successful seasons year after year. But you know, in a way, it's really a question of values. What do you value? A future? I'm sure. But what kind? Will it be a kind to be short-lived, racked with pain and injury, arthritis, and mental lapses of inadequacies that carry you with a lifetime pension? Or will it be the turtle in the race with the hare, who wins that race with fulfillment but a lower pay? Join me again next Tuesday night at 9 p.m. for another hour of insight by visiting my website at bbsradio.com/historyinyou. As your host for this evening's show, this is George Rodriguez Walling wishing for all of you a very, very pleasant evening. Good night.